Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a wascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a wascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Time to awaken. Mark, Mark, wake up, Mark.
And greetings, people of Earth. Apparently it's going to be a fun technological day. Today our guest is going to be astrologer Matthew Curry from New York City, and you can find him at MatthewTheAstrologer.com. So we will be bringing him on in just a couple minutes. Lots going on, obviously, if you've been on Earth the last couple days. So obviously we are in a time of great change, we'll call it, at this time. Lots of things happening, lots of shifting. You know, we had the Mars Pluto opposition on the 15th, which was Wednesday, and then we had a new moon at 23 degrees Cancer on Wednesday night. So you see lots of fun-filled events out there going on with the Mars-Pluto opposition. So as you know, Mars can be anger and aggression, and Pluto, death, rebirth, transformation. So lots of power struggles, going on out there for us. So just kind of remember, we're in a cycle. It's all about evolving and moving forwards. There's lots of sparkly, shiny things out there in the news to keep our minds distracted and whatnot. But remember, it's a cycle. We've had thousands of other cycles. There'll be thousands more cycles that we'll go through. So this is one of those change and challenge times, and that's a wake-up call for a lot of people. We're kind of getting very close to the end of this year of Jupiter in Leo we've had. August 11th, Jupiter will enter Virgo for roughly a year, and that will give us the tools we need to fix all the many things that need fixed right now. I'm being very politically correct today. I don't expect this out of me all the time. So we have a lot of challenges in front of us. But we will, there's a heavy shift into the Earth sign energy. Like I said, August 11th, Jupiter goes into Virgo for a year. In November, the North Node enters Virgo. It'll be there for a year and a half. Those two will be conjunct a couple times in that year and a half, and they'll both be forming a trine to Pluto early mid next year in the May through July area. So we're going to get. Sometimes it looks like our challenges are big, but you know we are given the transits and the tools and the energy we need. To fix things on both the personal level and the collective level. So just remember one step at a time. One day we'll fix all this stuff eventually. We'll fix all this stuff eventually. I mean, that's why we're here, is to fix stuff, you know. I mean, we didn't really, you know, reincarnate here to sit and, you know, eat Wendy's and watch Seinfeld reruns all the time. So that's not enjoyable. I like to eat Wendy's and watch Seinfeld reruns sometimes, but we have other tasks that we've come here to perform, if you will. So I have, what do we got coming up? My monthly astrology class at Mystic Nirvana will be tomorrow night, Saturday, at in downtown Westerville at Mystic Nirvana, 133 South State Street. There's so much energy changing going on in the next month. We have a cardinal T-square, which is activating the cardinal grand square from the last couple years. We still have the Mars-Pluto opposition. We just had a new moon. Venus goes retrograde on the 25th at 0 degrees Virgo. We have on the weekend of the 25th and 26th, Mars is square Uranus. Within 24 hours of a Uranus station, then we have a full moon 5 days after that. August 2nd, we have a Saturn station, and it is square to Jupiter. So then we have a Venus-Jupiter conjunction on August 4th. Mars enters Leo on the 8th. Jupiter enters Virgo on the 11th. So I'm going to, Saturday night, I will break down everything that's coming up, Saturn-Neptune square, trying to the nodes and Pluto for the 60s generation and all the other stuff that's, so I just briefly touched on there. I will have some handouts for you. We may look at the New York Stock Exchange chart. We'll look at the chart for the Uranus station. And of course, I'll give you the lowdown on the astrological weather and what is coming up in the near future. Then, of course, on July 25th and 26th, on July 26th only, we have the Gathering of 1,000 Drummers at Whetstone Park here in good old Columbus, Ohio. So we will gather together our tribe and forget our problems for a day and have good fellowship and drumming and food and make a lot of racket in public, pretty much is what we're going to do. So, but we're known for that. So come on out, bring your drum. If you don't have a drum, come anyways. There'll be people there are usually extra drums there, and get to meet a lot of awesome people. Okay, so I believe our guest is on the line. You can find him on the interwebs. He's on Facebook. You can find him at MatthewTheAstrologer.com. So I want to bring on one of our good and extremely hilarious. If you've not visited Matthew's Facebook page, he has probably the most hilarious page in all of the Facebook universe. So it's always a good time there. So we are going to bring on our guest, Matthew Curry.
Is that me?
That is you. You're our lucky winner today. You're the thousandth.
Right on.
Yep, you're the thousandth caller. You get to be our guest today.
Woohoo!
So how are things treating you, my friend?
You know, not bad, I suppose. did I get the right quaver to my voice there? Oh, you know, Mars and Cancer's been pretty tough on all of us.
Yeah, it's really... To be honest, I mean, it's been brutal this year. That's really all you can say. It's been brutal this year.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. I do a lot of stuff like where I'm writing up, you know, forecasts for... I am all over the internet. I mean, facebook.com/theastrologer, sure, why not? But, you know, there's the BeliefNet blog, there's the weekly forecasts astrology, there's the weekend romance forecast at astrologydating.com. Got all the promos out of the way. You know, when I'm writing this stuff, you kind of sit back and wonder, okay, let's see. Mars is going to be in Cancer for another couple of weeks, and you kind of wonder, is it going to be that bad? Because you know how it is. I mean, one placement is not bad news for everyone. Like, Mars in Cancer may sound bad, but if it's trine half your chart, it could be a good time. But,
exactly.
You know, yeah, kind of this time around, it's... there's a high suck factor.
Yeah. I'd agree. I'd agree. And it is, you know, it's, you can just see people just purging all of their kind of pent-up anger and frustration and stuff. And I understand I'm frustrated and angry about a lot of stuff, too. But, you know, we're all here to kind of help each other. I think that's the main thing to kind of remember.
In theory. In theory.
On paper, that sounded good.
help everyone. Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah. It's important to keep your sense of humor during all this.
I try. Of course, you know, I drink a lot, too, so that helps. I'm not promoting any unhealthy lifestyles or anything, but really, this whole stretch of Mars in Cancer reminds me of one of my favorite lines from National Lampoon's Animal House. My advice to you is to start drinking heavily.
Yes. I would have to kind of concur with that. Now, of course, you know, we have free will in our society, kind of. So, you know, have the beverage of your choice.
Yeah, that's it. Why not? Smoke them if you got them. Just let's get through this mess.
Exactly. I mean, and, you know, I've been trying to remind people, too. I mean, I think you're roughly born in the same geological era as I was. So, you know, after... you know, shortly after the dinosaurs came and right before the Civil War were born. So over the next year and a half, those of us born at any time in the 60s have some version of a Uranus-Pluto conjunction in Virgo.
So
between now and the end of next year, we're going to get transiting Pluto will trine our Uranus-Pluto conjunction. Transiting Jupiter will be conjunct our natal Uranus-Pluto conjunction, and the transiting North Node will hit our natal Uranus-Pluto conjunction. This is our time to come out.
It will be truly, at long last, time for our generation to rise up and get those kids off our lawn. I genuinely believe that. It's, but you know, I mean, roughly people that same era, either in the last few months or now, we've also gone through Saturn passing over our Neptune, which was just a bummer, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Even if somehow, you know, the, aspects it was forming were somehow good, it's just a drag. Saturn and Neptune should not even be in the same solar system.
No, there should be a restraining order filed in the universe somehow.
Well, yeah, it's just, I don't know why. I mean, just I found that even, you know, people who got relatively good results, it was like they got good results, but yeah, that kind of crushed my dreams a little.
Yes, I've seen that movie. I may have had a semi-starring role in that one. And not even an Academy Award nomination out of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That's the bad part.
But, you know, I mean, and of course Saturn keeps moving on, so in the next 2 or 3 years it'll be crushing the whole Neptune and Sagittarius generation, and good luck, kids.
Right. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Saturn square to my natal Mercury at 5 Pisces, I'm sure. I'm sure I won't be argumentative at all during that.
So, yeah, it's, but, you know, on the bright side, I guess we're all still more or less alive. And odds are statistically excellent that any one person listening to this now will be alive next month.
Yes. And everyone and will positive quite, through September 23rd.
Yeah, okay. Oh, September 23rd, is that when the world is ending again?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. No, with the whole ending of the world thing. I mean, you know, I honestly think, and it seems to me, since we were talking about Neptune, it seems to me that Liz Green wrote about in one of those, you know, that gigantic, thick, 40-pound Neptune book that Liz Green wrote about Neptune?
I had that sitting on my fireplace mantle until very recently.
And then the mantle broke, I'm willing to bet, under the weight of it. Don't get me wrong, it's a fascinating book, and Liz Green is, of course, a classic, and I know she hangs off of every word I speak. She had a lot in there about how Neptune has a lot to do with end-of-the-world fantasies and stuff like that, and, you know, it's just not happening.
As much as we may want it to.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I think there is a certain kind of wish fulfillment. It's like if you got the apocalypse of your dreams, you know, pick out whatever it is you don't like about humans or life on Earth or anything like that. You know, you got to admit that, let's say in a couple of years from now, scientists develop some sort of nuclear weapon that prevents gay marriage, and President Trump is about to fire it off, and it results in the end of human civilization. There's going to be a few people thinking, yeah, you know, or whatever. I made that up.
That is a possible scenario, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm building a UFO landing pad outside my apartment, so just in case. You know, you gotta have your bases covered. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you know what? Here's the thing, is that, you know, people, for decades now, people have been building UFO landing pads, and, you know, most folks, they just laugh. They just laugh at people who go ahead and build UFO landing pads. But look at all the drones out there now.
Yes.
You know, they gotta land somewhere, so why not? We'll just keep this spot warm until the Alpha Centaurians arrive, and we'll take pictures of your backyard while we're at it.
Well, here's where I'm a step ahead of the curve, is I've set up a toll booth outside of my landing pad, so I'm going to get money out of it.
There you go. That's the American dream, monetize that thing.
It is. It's like, if I can't gouge people from outer space, who can you gouge?
Well, exactly, yeah. How would they, you know, and besides, extraterrestrials land, you say hi to them, how do they even know what percentage they're supposed to tip? You can tell them anything.
Right. Can you even go online and find an intergalactic tip ratio schedule? I don't think so.
I'm willing to bet not.
And, you know, the Pleiadians have always been cheap anyways.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, I don't mean to pick on them. They're fine people. But, yeah, not the world's best tippers.
No. That's their planet.
Well, exactly. You know, that's the thing. It's like, as far as I understand, the Pleiadians are all about some kind of cosmic unity. So they probably just assume that the tip is built into the check.
Right. Because it's like, I have the money, and we're all one, so in a way I've tipped you.
Well, exactly. Thanks, pal. Oh, man, yeah. Well, and you know they've got to hang on to their change because have you ever tried to buy a silver LeMay jumpsuit? Those things are expensive.
Actually, I was going to start a Kickstarter fund to get one.
That should be the next big fashion trend. Silver LeMay jumpsuits. Why not?
It'll be all the rave at the parties next year. That's right.
Well, exactly, yeah. It's the Pleiadian look.
Oh, yeah, you know, what kind of accessory? I mean, what goes good with three eyes? I mean, I haven't figured that one out.
Oh, how would the sunglasses even work? That's a good question.
Right. I want to accentuate my left eye. What do you recommend? What kind of mascara do you recommend?
I... Three different colors, one color. By the way, okay, now this is astrological trivia time here. I just need to throw this out because you said left eye.
Right.
Okay.
Is this going to be a Lisa Lopez reference?
It actually is, believe it or not. There was something. Do you mind if I fiddle around here for a moment and try to get her birth chart up?
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead,
and
keep talking about it.
I'll make sure that Andre Bison isn't listening.
Okay. Because, okay, now here's the deal. And we all know, you know, the more you get into astrology, you know, you learn stuff like Mercury rules speech and, you know, Mars rules anger and all that. And it's like, it's when you go down the list, it's amazing the list of things that astrology rules. Now, here's the thing. I was looking at, long story short, the chart of birth chart of Lisa Left Eye Lopez a while ago, and we actually do have a proper time of birth for her, and she had Moon in Cancer, but Leo rising, okay? So Leo rising is very out there. Moon in Cancer is a strong placement, but in the 12th house, and her entire life, she bobbed back and forth between being very loud and out there in public and being really incredibly reclusive when she wasn't performing. But long story short, she was kind of shy and initially started covering up her left eye so that people didn't have to look at her whole face. She kind of had a bit of a nervous tick about that. Moon in Cancer is a strong placement because it's in the sign that it rules in. The 12th house rules hiding things, and what's more, anatomically, the moon rules specifically the left eye.
Ah.
There you go. I just wanted to demonstrate that I know all these hardcore little fiddly trivia bits in when I do the shtick. Don't think it's just the shtick. It's shtick based on a profound depth of knowledge or something.
To quickly explain my Andre Rison joke, Andre Rison was a professional football player, mostly for the Atlanta Falcons, and he was dating Lisa Left Eye Lopez for a while, and she got angry and burnt down his house.
Oh.
But unfortunately, I don't have Burning Down the House by the Talking Heads queued up, or I would throw that in.
Aw, Moon in Cancer is so touchy, isn't it?
Both Matthew and I have Moon in Cancer, by the way, so we're not
God.
Just... picking on Lisa. We're picking from experience.
Exactly. And you know what? When you get right down to it, there's a few places need to get torched.
Right. And by the way, before I forget, Matthew and I will be appearing at the Funny Bone in Des Moines, Iowa.
Buffet's open till midnight. Make sure you tip your server.
Right. So you Des Moinians out there, head to your ticket bastard and get your tickets.
Yeah.
So we have lots of fun events coming up here. An exact Mars Uranus square within 24 hours of Uranus stationing.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm trying to get my LeMay outfit ready for then.
There could be, by the way, somewhere during that period when Uranus is slowing down to the station and Mars is making the exact square, Mars is, you know there's going to be some incredibly grumpy and clumsy children being born during that time.
Yeah. Yeah. and one day one of them will be president.
Oh, probably.
Maybe.
go on a bender, spill his drink on that big red button and end it for all of us.
Right. Maybe a great-grandchild of Gerald Ford or something.
I don't know how much time you spend talking with people about political astrology or anything. And, you know, it's kind of like with the BeliefNet blog. I stay away from that because it's all kind of, you know, love and light and stuff, at least by my standards. And, you know, they don't want me talking about politics, which is fair. It's their site, okay?
Right, right.
But I just want you to know that I have a number of loud and obnoxious opinions that I'm not going to be expressing here.
I am the same. I try to save those for special forums most of the time.
Yeah. which is why I suggest if people are looking for me on Facebook that they join the Oh My Stars Astrology with Matthew Curry group, because we play nice there.
Okay. What if they don't want to play nice with Matthew Curry? Where would they find you?
Well, if they don't want to play nice, they should make friends with me personally and be obnoxious on the personal page. If they don't want to play nice, in the Oh My Stars group, there is usually some sort of a beating involved, and then they get kicked out.
Oh. Okay, so I guess what you're saying is if people are looking for a good beating, then join the Oh My Stars.
No, if you're looking for a good beating, just find me on a personal page. If you want a kind, caring, sensitive, pants-optional environment to discuss astrology, then, you know, the Oh My Stars Astrology with Matthew Curry group on Facebook. And it is pants optional.
My favorite kind of chat room.
Yeah. But you know what, this Mars Uranus square, I mean, bad times pass and most people survive them.
Right.
But I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
Right. I agree. Sometimes less tumultuous evolution is preferred to the short, chaotic kind.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And you know, people love to talk about, you know, spiritual evolution and all that, completely forgetting that the actual evolutionary process involves a whole lot of dying.
Right. I will profess my guilt here. It gets very easy to get stuck in your head and trying to spiritually or mentally process everything that's going on. And it's like, sometimes I have to, you know, kind of rough myself up a little bit. And it's like, you know, there's a reason you're here and have a moon in Cancer and that you have a physical body, is because one of the ways we progress is, you know, through our physical and emotional body. That's one reason we're here, I reckon.
Yeah.
That and you know, cheap food. We're here for that and cheap food.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have, and by the way, what a remarkable selection of food America has going for it.
I think so.
I just, you know what, here's the thing. This is kind of a moon in Cancer thing. We like this sort of stuff. Even if we deny it to ourselves sometimes, but we love this sort of thing. Did you know that there is a bacon cheddar mac and cheese flavor of Lay's potato chips now?
Oh my gosh. No, I did not. Yeah, because when Jupiter goes into Virgo, that's going to be out the door. So.
Oh yeah, I know. But try them now then, because I had them for the first time last night and they were artificially delicious.
Yeah, right. So binge for the next 3 weeks on those.
Absolutely.
they'll probably be gone.
Absolutely. Next 3 weeks, Jupiter's still in Leo. Just booze it up and eat all the Twinkies you can.
Right, because it's a diet for all of you after that.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, here's the thing. You got to get ready now for people picking on Jupiter and Virgo.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, well, it's opposite the sign that it used to rule, but it's...
Right.
And, but you know, I mean, depending on the details of your birth chart, Jupiter in Virgo could be quite useful. Like, for example, early on during that, both Jupiter and Neptune will be square my Mercury. So I'm looking forward to a few weeks of just not speaking.
Right. Oh, goodness sakes. Yeah, I actually kind of... For my monthly class tomorrow, I was going to run down some of what we can expect out of Jupiter in Virgo. And I looked back the last two times was 2003 and 1991, through, you know, carrying through to the next year. And it was like, you know, those 2 years were like really unpleasant for me. Now, I had a lot of growth, and I do had, you know, but it was growth through crisis. So
yeah.
I'm trying to get on board this next 3 weeks here. I'm trying to clean up as much stuff as I can, so maybe it's a little less pain. I'm pre-Virgoing myself. I'm restoring
okay.
my original virginity.
Okay. Well, you know, and here's the nice thing about if you study astrology for a long time, and if you live long enough, you can check out, you know, what was life like the last time this transit happened. And, like, for example, I checked out how my life was running the last time Saturn was in Sagittarius. And, oh, now I've made myself sad. Sorry. I can't go on making my point. Show me on the doll where Saturn touched you. That's what Saturn in Sagittarius was like for me, okay? And another, like, 3 years of that crap coming yet. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Shoot. I agree. I was not a fan of the last Saturn and Sag transit either. So I'm not going to buy tickets for the reunion tour. I got to be.
Oh
honest.
God. Yeah, I know. Oh, it's just like one of those Who reunion tours. Except people are glad when the Who comes back. You know.
Right. Oh boy, I just censored myself big time. I was gonna say something horrible, like show me on the doll where Pete Townsend touched you, but I didn't.
No. Oh.
I kid Pete. I love Pete, but you know.
What's not to love? When he windmilled his fingertips off, he did it for you, for all of you.
Yeah, right. It was his sacrificial offering for all the little hooster, all the little Horton Hears a Hoosters out there.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing? Have you how can people get a hold of you for readings, and are you doing classes and online mentoring?
I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I'm teaching a Learn Astrology course right now. If you didn't sign up for it, it's too late. Sorry. Which is, you know, probably a good thing, because the way I teach astrology online, it's not kind of like, we're going to have a 3-week course. It's just kind of like, you know, you throw me some money and we're going to go forever. So I've got that going. I do a lot of readings, and you know what? Hey, if anyone's looking for their Friends of Mark discount, just drop me an email. It's all one word, astrologyshow@gmail.com, and say, hey, I realize you sounded like kind of a jackass, but still you know what you're talking about, so maybe a reading would help you out. And I would say, yes, it would, and here's a discount.
Fantabulous. How about that? Our first co-op here, our... Friends of the Rabbit Hole discount with Matthew Curry.
Exactly.
That?
And, of course, you know, if you don't want or need the reading, there's always the All My Stars blog on BeliefNet, which is, I think, I'm not sure, but I think it's considered the world's largest spiritual website.
Wow. How about that?
And here I've got the little astrology corner all to myself.
I'd say that's quite a coup.
And it's a huge website, and there's all kinds of stuff there, like, you know, relatively obscure stuff like Lutheran humor. Or, you know, what to take to your friend's Eid al-Fitr party or something like that. But I somehow ended up, you got all the mainstream religions there. And then there's me, just holding it down in the back. And strangely enough, it's a huge success.
So you're not exactly like the guy in Office Space where they kept moving his desk?
No, actually, and you know what? I kind of thought it was going to be that way. But it's kind of, you know, I have the sneaking suspicion, and I really love BeliefNet. Don't get me wrong. But I almost get the feeling that when they had Lynn Hayes was the astrology blogger before, and no one was doing it for a while, and I said I'd do it. I kind of get the feeling, though, that on a site like BeliefNet, being the astrology blogger and having it turn out to be really successful, strangely enough, is kind of like, you know, forgive me for this analogy, but it's kind of like, you know, you're the affirmative action hire. But it turns out you did a really good job. So now everyone's kind of awkward around you because, you know, okay, we just kind of brought you in because you were filling a statistical gap, but now you're doing all right. So congratulations.
Question mark.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's a bit like that. It's like, wow, hey, the blog is doing really well and getting a good response. And then they want to ask you something like, so where are you from? No, where are you from? Okay, family, you're legal, right? You're legal here? And it's kind of like, all of a sudden, no, I don't have 200 cousins. No, you know.
It's like the... I'm going to steal an old Bill Hicks joke.
It's like, yeah. It's
when
like,
you meet a guy, he goes, hi, I'd like you to meet my wife and sister, and there's one girl standing there. Oh, dear goodness. Dear goodness.
Well, so far, we've managed to casually skate past politics, religion and racism without falling into any of those pits. It's like we're juggling chainsaws here.
Right. It's a lot of narrow misses. We've almost fallen down some tricky parts of the rabbit hole, but we assumed our footing at this point.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, honestly, BeliefNet is a great site. After you drop by my blog, poke around at some of the other stuff there, too. Why not?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I've posted the link to the astrology part of BeliefNet. It's on my it is posted in the chat room, and it's on my Facebook page also. So go ahead and check out Matthew's writing there. Yes. We're going to take just a 30-second break here, catch our collective press and write a couple more jokes here real quick, and we'll be right back with our comedy headliner Matthew Curry.
You are listening to withinsightsradio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to withinsightsradio.com.
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
Okay, we are back.
All right.
Today, astrologer Matthew Curry from New York City, and we are systematically diagnosing all the problems in the galaxy. I believe we're starting in the Q's now.
By the way, what a lovely promo that was. I suddenly feel like the guy who showed up for church in the ripped jeans and the Megadeth t-shirt. And it's kind of like, because, you know, you're doing good work there. We're elevating the human condition and all that. And was that a V for Vendetta quote?
That was. That is my favorite of all time.
There we go. Now, you really want to bore people to death. I could go on and on in glorious detail about Alan Moore adaptations from graphic novel to film, but we'll pass. We're going to pass on that, I think.
Okay. Never know for sure. Keep it on the back burner. We might need it here.
Yeah. Just in case. Okay, we've run out of astrology to talk about. Now we're going with film adaptations of graphic novels.
I believe we did about 30 minutes on cinema last time you were on.
I'm so sorry.
Totally fine. I love doing the, you know, we go where spirit leads us, Matthew.
Yeah. We kind of surfed past, I don't know, the whole religion politics. Who's left to offend? Or not to offend? Okay, you know what? Let's see how we'll play chicken with offending people. We'll get real close, okay?
Yeah.
How about vegans?
Yes. How can we?
You know, I just saw this story. If you spend a lot of time on Facebook, and who doesn't? You probably saw this news story going around about they found this variety of seaweed that tastes just like bacon, and it's better for you than kale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, honestly, apparently, true story. Tastes like bacon, but it's better for you than kale. And that sounds like a good idea, but I don't think anyone is going to turn the world vegan until you find a way to make bacon taste like kale or seaweed.
So are you saying I can't go to my favorite fast food restaurant and order a KLT sandwich, a kale lettuce?
This isn't entirely a possibility for the near future, and of course, you know, if they fully develop this whatever it is seaweed, it's gonna be just like Chile and their quinoa. The local natives who've been eating it for hundreds and hundreds of years suddenly can't afford it anymore. So I'm sure we'll be screwing someone over, but hey, it'll taste like bacon. So you know, the system wins.
Wins. Well, I'm trying to dulse. It's called dulse seaweed. D-U-L-S-E.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking at a picture, and it looks a little bit like kind of underly cooked bacon.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to try the stuff. And, yeah, if it really does taste like bacon, yes, I'm sure I will eat plenty of it. And then, of course, this is, you know, there's, like, at least one professional nutritionist on my friends list that I've got to ask this sometime. Why is it that, like, if you remember back in the 80s, it was oat bran was going to save us all from colon cancer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, every 6 weeks it turns out that something you should be eating you aren't, and something that you did start eating because someone else told you to is now going to give you elbow cancer.
Right.
Apparently, people are just dropping like flies with thallium poisoning from kale now. to which I can only respond, number of deaths directly attributable to Twinkies, I ask you?
Tens of thousands.
I really? Oh, okay.
Somewhere in between there.
You look at a Twinkie and you think this is unnatural and terrifying, but still, really, how much anti-Twinkie research has actually been done? I don't know, probably not much.
There was one guy in the government that hated Dolly Madison. So I think he put out one report, but I think a lot of it was forged.
I think so.
I don't think we've really fully developed our anti-Twinkie technology. I think more government spending needs to be put into that.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least so we can eliminate other people's Twinkies and then control more of the market.
Oh, right. And we can put out a new Twinkie, not additive, a Twinkie replacement that we can market it at a slightly higher price at Whole Foods, of course. And oh
yeah, Whole Foods. Oh yeah. Is it just me? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the concept. I love the concept of Whole Foods, and I think it's great. But I just kind of get the feeling that when I go in there, that it's like everything's just a little too good for me.
Yeah, but especially the people.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, they all seem like bright, shiny, happy, well-paid people there, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it just seems to me that when I go in there, it's sort of like, okay, let's see. You know, what's today's special? Well, today we have the potato salad. It majored in economics at Vassar. Oh.
I try not. Oh, this is going to sound dirty. I try not to eat anything that has a higher IQ than myself. But I may not always stick to that.
You know what's really strange, though? I will no longer. Speaking of eating things smarter than yourself, I have personally sworn I'm no longer going to eat octopus.
Are you afraid of waking up with extra tentacles?
Oh, it's just, you know, if you look into this, it's just those creepy little buggers are hella smart. And I don't feel right. I don't feel right eating something, if not smarter than me, at least that close.
I feel like I've duped it in some way.
Yeah, although, you know, they say pigs are pretty intelligent too, but that's why you've got to stun them before you eat them, because they don't impress you with their math skills or something.
Right. If there's one thing that's humiliating, it's your breakfast finishing your crossword puzzle for you before you eat it.
Oh, man. So, and by the way, just in case people are wondering, I kind of think that when Jupiter enters Virgo, I guess next month, is it?
Yeah, August 11th.
You can probably expect, I know that's kind of a broad generalization, but it's true. I think there's going to be more people obsessing more over what they eat and their calorie count and, you know, how their cholesterol is and all that. And, you know, that's nice and all. It's not my thing, but it's nice.
Right. You know, I'm looking at the really big change in the food industry too. I mean, we're already kind of seeing it. I think it's going to even go more that way in the next year. But I think when Uranus enters Taurus in about, I think, 4 years or so, I think that's when we're really going to see the big change in, like, how our food is processed and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Uranus in Taurus, that's kind of, given the nature of the planet, that could almost go either way. You know?
True.
Like, we could, you know, everyone could just suddenly get over their problems with genetically modified food and say, screw it, yeah.
Right. There may be incredible technological advances in, you know, creating cloned sheep to feed everyone or something.
Well, and, you know, this is something I'm constantly amazed at this. Are you familiar with Schmeat?
I am not familiar with Schmeat.
The idea is, you know, you can grow, like, tissue samples in a culture.
Right.
Like, in a laboratory. And they're working now on ways to develop, like, actual large strips of meat in a laboratory. And you know, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and everyone seems to think that sounds really gross. And I'm thinking, you know what? You got, like, you know, a pork chop in the laboratory that has never felt pain and will never suffer, and you don't have to worry about it being trapped in a pen or anything like that. I'd bring it on. And I'm kind of wondering if Uranus in Taurus is going to give us more opportunities to debate the wonders of Schmeet. Also, it's fun to say, Schmeet.
I agree. There's many, and because that's the one thing. I mean, you can predict that there'll be chaos and radical changes with Uranus transits, but the very nature of Uranus is shocking, unexpected things. So there's always a couple of things that just you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, now how long is it until Uranus enters Taurus? It's like 20, I don't know, off the top of my head. It's got a few years yet.
Yeah, I just looked the other day. It's like 2020 or something, I believe.
Okay, we got time yet.
We got time to get our schmeet together.
Well, you know, and my biggest concern with this is that it's rare for me to make really long-term predictions in public. Because you know what I mean? Even if you're good at calling the stock market, it's harder to call it next year than it is next week. But I posted somewhere or other a fairly loud public prediction that I figured that by the time Uranus is done passing through Aries, we're going to have something like reasonable proof that there is life somewhere other than Earth. Yeah, don't give me any UFO talk. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, stuff where NASA sits down and says, yeah, it's alive.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping that happens yet, but I worry about that because I thought, you know, did I go too far out on a limb?
Right.
And can we eat it?
I'm still waiting for them to find intelligent life on Earth.
Well, yeah. They keep launching probes and they never phone back.
So Uranus enters Taurus in March of 2019.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to mark that on my calendar. I'm going to get on NASA's back and tell them to start processing data a lot faster. And, of course, speaking of which, you know, not only astrologically is there a lot of Pluto activity going on, but, of course, we send a probe there.
Yes. Yes.
And Pluto is weird.
As was expected, and spy stalkerish.
Yeah. And if you haven't heard, of course, they are not officially naming features on it yet. But NASA is starting to take suggestions for scary things from Earth culture and folklore. Like, seriously, there's a good chance that one of the major features on Pluto is going to end up being called Cthulhu.
Oh, my gosh. Are you
Which would be awesome!
You know, that's... not to jump, you know, totally into politics, but as far as the presidential election for next year, I've kind of narrowed it down to two candidates. It's either Cthulhu on the one hand as a worthy candidate, and on the other thing with the rebirth of Bloom County starting again, I'm kind of leaning towards the Opus and Bill the Dead Cat ticket.
You know, I think either way, America's got a winning team.
Right. Why do we have to keep taking the lesser of evils? I mean...
Exactly.
Vote for the greater of evils. I mean, let's be sensible here, people.
Well, you know, and you've got to love Cthulhu's immigration policy. All must come to me. So that's pretty straightforward.
And, you know, something with many tentacles, it's going to be a lot easier for him to hold a selfie stick.
Well, yeah.
We can get multi-camera selfie views of Cthulhu when he's giving press conferences.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to look at the bright side of things.
Yeah, or make one up if there isn't one, either way.
Right. I mean, really, who's going to mess with America when we have that, you know, hoary leader of the dark netherworlds willing to steal
the souls
of everyone in other countries?
Well, exactly. And even if Trump doesn't get elected.
Oh.
Oh, man. Okay. Geez, I'm sorry I said it. Never mind.
Oh,
yeah, okay. You know what? There's probably a few Trump fans in the audience who just tuned me out and will probably, you know, throw a brick through my front window or something, and possibly yours too, and I apologize for that. Let's just all be love and light about this.
Right, right. Let's just be in complete denial about everything that's going on.
But you know what? As long as we're on the subject,
yes,
there is just one more thing I would like to get out. And I'm really amazed that this didn't become some kind of catchphrase or something like that. It didn't catch on much bigger in popular culture. You know, Trump announced, and he did that whole thing about how horrifying Mexicans are.
Yeah, of course.
And later on, he was defending his statements on CNN or somewhere, and someone pointed out to him, you know, statistically speaking, your claims about immigrant-based crime aren't backed up. And the Donald, as we all call him, the Donald, said, well, somebody's doing the raping.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, I don't see why you can't use that as the ultimate, if you get something factually wrong or stupid. Why can't you just answer with that? Well, somebody's doing the raping.
Might as well be me.
Yeah. It's
if I don't rape you, somebody else will.
I think, well, not just that. You know, it's like, I think that, you know, of all Humphrey Bogart's greatest films, undoubtedly his best performance was in Gone with the Wind. Well, he wasn't in Gone with the Wind. Well, someone's doing the raping.
Right.
I think America missed out on a huge catchphrase right there.
Right. I think there's still hope for this one. I think there's still hope for this catchphrase.
Yeah. I don't. You know, I've looked into. I don't know. Long story short, it seems to me that at some point I looked at Donald Trump's transits on Election Day, and they're not that great.
No, actually. Hillary, by far, has the best transits on Election Day.
And, yeah, it seems to me. Well, I will admit I have not looked at Bernie Sanders because I'm holding out until, you know, someone comes up with a proper time of birth. No rectifications either. I know what you're up to with the rectifications, people. You know, none of this, well, I think Chris Christie has Taurus rising because he's fat. You know, no, that's not how it's done.
Yeah, right.
I mean, for people in the audience who aren't familiar with rectifications, that's where you're supposed to sit down and do a whole lot of work looking at a person's life and various events in it and try to figure out their time of birth from that. But it's like there's just so many bad rectifications out there where it's sort of like, okay, we don't have a time of birth for so-and-so, but I really don't like so-and-so, and I just had a fight with my ex, and my ex has Gemini rising. So I guess so-and-so has Gemini rising, too.
Right. Not too much projection there.
Yeah. And then, okay, here's my other grumpy old man complaint. If you're looking up astrology for a given celebrity, and you type in name of celebrity, then astrology, there's usually two sites that come up first, and one of them is a lot more reputable than the other.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
I know the non-reputable one that you're talking about.
I've noticed that, you know, when the less than reputable one, they'll give a time of birth for a celebrity. And if you do some digging around, you know, quite often the time of birth they're using doesn't have a proper rating on it. By the way, the good site uses a proper rating, just saying. It's a rotten rating, look it up, from AA, ABCD. But the bad site will, you know, half the time they will take a chart from IJustPulledItOutOfMyAss.com and run it as the official birth chart for so-and-so, and that bothers me. So don't fall into that trap, kids.
Yes, I have. Okay, so since we're alone here with some of our closest friends and people that are, if not closest friends, at least they're people too far away to do much bodily damage to us.
And the longer I keep talking, the closer and closer and fewer the friends will be. So,
hey, right, anybody out there now still is pretty trustworthy. Yeah.
Okay, the squealers are gone.
All right. I just can't believe how many bad astrology posts I see on Facebook. Oh my God. It takes every ounce of courage. Because I don't like trolls. I don't want to be a troll. And I don't think I've ever been a troll, but my God, some days it is, it's like, oh my God, I just want to correct that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, in all fairness, I mean, okay, you know what? 90% of everything is crap.
Right. Right.
But, you know, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And no, there is no such thing as, you know, listing all 12 sun signs and saying which one is the most trustworthy and
who's the best,
or best in bed.
Yeah. I see so many, and I know that people share those things just out of fun and everything. But to me, when I see those things, to me, what I see is that's more damage control I have to do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like people are going around posting things like, you know, least trustworthy Lithuanians and Albanians. Okay, no. Because that would be kind of an unfair generalization, I'm thinking.
Although, I like Jim Belushi. I believe he's Albanian.
Oh, okay, yeah, there we go. So I'm sure he's fine.
Right. But the rest.
So there you go. I think we all know a good Albanian, you know.
Right. But yeah, it's hard. I mean, the one that's really, since none of them are probably listening, the one that really is killing me right now is there's some sites, again, remain nameless unless you want to personal message me and I'll tell you which ones they are. but there's some of them that mix the whole. There's people that write articles on many different, you know, ascension and spirituality and meditation and a whole bunch of stuff. And these people, like, once in a while put a little astrology blip up. And it's.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me want to scream because I love the articles where, like, it's the week that there's a Pluto-Uranus square and Saturn stations and there's an eclipse and then, like, they put an article up saying, oh, the big thing this week is the Mercury quindicile to Venus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Those are the ones that kill me the most. Even if their description is correct, it's like, oh, my God, there's 37 things bigger than that happening this week.
Oh, you know, man, can we rant about annoying aspects here?
Yes, yes.
Because, like, here's the thing. Okay, you know what? If you're getting a reading from an astrologer, and they go at least 30 minutes, if they can't go at least 30 minutes without mentioning a quindicile or a novile, or what I'm saying here is, like, you got your major aspects, you got your minor aspects, quincunx, you know, we'll kind of call you a medium aspect because you're annoying enough that we'll call you a medium. And you'll shut up. Okay, yeah. Semi-sextiles, you are only allowed to work in the kitchen, and the rest of you get out.
Right.
Semi-sextiles, you can stay, but you stay in the back and wash dishes.
Right.
We don't want to hear from you. You do your job. Just leave us alone. You're not that important. Now, the rest of you, the septiles and the thing Noel Till made up, and the rest of you, get lost. We don't want to hear about this, and you know what? If you've got the asteroid Mr. Spock, Novile, some other trans-Neptunian body that they haven't even named yet, you can get out too.
Oh my god. I don't even know. Most of my readings are, I usually do, you know, an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half, and I never get past the three or four major aspects.
Well, yeah.
For like 6
Why?
Hours.
Why? Because they work.
Right. I'm gonna
like, okay, you got this whole trans-Neptunian thing. Neptunian. I don't know, whatever. Like, okay, there's this one called Orcus, for example. It's got about the same orbital distance as Pluto, and it is named after Pluto's other name. So it's basically Pluto 2, the replutoning, or whatever. And, you know, there's all kinds of people out there who are going to convince you that, you know, if you've got Venus biceptile Orcus, then it means you like doing it in graveyards or something like that. And you know, this is not why people go see an astrologer. They want to go see an astrologer because they're having their Saturn square and things suck.
Right. Oh my gosh. That all just kind of reminds me, there's the comedian's Penn and Teller, who I find hilarious, but do not agree with her world viewpoint on a lot of things.
They're hilarious, except when they miss the point. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Right. They had a show called, it was called Bullshit, that was on. And they did a segment on astrology. And
yeah.
While it was hilarious on some levels, it was also very infuriating because they brought in the, instead of getting a, you know, real life astrologer, somebody who, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be Stephen Forrest, but, you know, somebody who, you know, they brought in some guy dressed goofy like it was 1972.
Yeah.
Funny dad, and they sat him down at a party and had them try to guess what kind of foods people like. And
yeah.
It's like, maybe astrology can tell you what kind of foods people like. I haven't spent any time on it because there's too many useful things that you can tell people as opposed to trying to guess what kind of foods they like.
Well, and, you know, there's two problems with that. First of all, you know, the fact that the test itself is ridiculous. And I've seen this sort of thing done before in one format or another. There's the whole idea, first of all, that it's just ridiculous. Secondly, though, if they can always find some nitwit who thinks they're an astrologer, so, oh, I'm going to be on a TV show. Because I'm an astrologer. And, you know, it's kind of like never our best and brightest, is it?
Right. It's kind of like how I'm just going to ruffle feathers. I don't care. It's kind of like I'm in the rabbit hole. People can't find me anyways.
It's exactly.
Kind of like Fox News, when they, you know, like the Hannity show and stuff, where they would bring on a Democrat or libertarian expert who is obviously some person that, you know, has never been involved
yeah.
in politics outside of maybe a chat room forum, and then they
yeah.
just, you know, eat them alive, obviously, because they have preset
yeah.
ways to trap them.
Yeah, and now representing the opposing view is a ranting lunatic who dresses like the Unabomber. Welcome to the show.
Right. And then they'll have three interviewers pepper questions at them the whole time, and they're already,
yeah.
you know, they're screwed to start with.
Yeah. And, you know, and speaking of skeptics, the most popular thing I ever did on the BeliefNet article, on the BeliefNet blog, was my three-part challenge to the James Randi Educational Foundation. And I urge you, by all means, if you can ever find online, and it's there, the James Randi Educational Foundation, which is an interesting name, because, you know, whenever you hear of a lobbying group with something like Concerned Citizens for Education, you know it's always because they want to teach your kids that the world was created 12 months ago, or something stupid like that. But the James Randi Educational Foundation, they actually, the fools that they are, picked up my blog entry and complained about me, which was huge for traffic. But I do want to point out that, you know, a lot of people know that the Randi Foundation has a $1 million challenge for proof of claims of the paranormal, which is so rigged it's not even funny. But they have not even answered my $10 Matthew Curry Educational Foundation challenge to address the dozens and dozens of flaws in their one single free-to-download booklet on critical thinking about astrology. Like, it is, if you can find the JREF, James Randi Educational Foundation, astrology booklet for teaching your kids critical thinking, it is absolutely, it is all of the faulty arguments against astrology all in one convenient package. And thank you, James Randi, for retweeting my blog entry, which enabled me to get the word out. But I'm still looking forward to someone from the foundation accepting my $10 challenge. They are, I actually spoke with one via email. They refused to pick up the gauntlet. Therefore, they are just as phony as I am by their standards.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, suck it, Randi.
Actually, there's a... So, just to explain... I have the tight Uranus Pluto conjunction in my chart, and they're retrograde.
So I know that feeling.
I'm always questioning. I'm always doing the inner questioning and asking why. I ask why with everything. So, I just posted one of Matthew's blogs called "8 Things Skeptics of Astrology Don't Get." So,
there we go.
But I question all of, you know, my beliefs and stuff too. So I try not, if I speak something or talk or give something in a class or a radio show, odds are I've picked it to death pretty much in my own head. So, you know, I go, and maybe this is a way to release some of the Saturn and Aries argumentative energy I have sometimes. But I'll go search YouTube and stuff for like critics of astrology and why astrology does, just to see what, why people think.
Absolutely.
To try and it is, I caught some of the James Randi videos, and yeah, there's another astrologer who has repeatedly made a challenge back to him and refuted a lot of his, and they refused to talk to him. I mean, I found posts from this guy all over the place offering to go on and dismantle. Wow, that was some thunder, dude.
Ooh, awesome.
And, you know, kind of dismantle some of their stuff. Because it's, I mean, I love, too, that they bring out the same art. Like, every 5 years, some smartass goes like, oh, well, astrologers haven't accounted for the precession of the equinoxes. I bet no one's thought of that. I mean, it's the same. Every 5 years for the last 10,000 years, somebody has brought that up.
It keeps coming out as a news story, and it would be really hard to find a story that is not older. Like, man discovers how to make fire, maybe. But it's like, yeah, we've known about this since there was a difference between astrologers and astronomers.
I know. I love, and it's always some really, really smart scientists who say, "Oh, I finally figured this out. How come everyone born in the same hospital the same day doesn't turn out exactly the same?" I mean,
And of course, you know, they lure you in with headlines like, "Are you still a Virgo? Maybe not," or whatever.
They've discovered a 13th planet. How did that prove all? Astrology wrong.
Ophiuchus is not invited to this party.
Right. Go Ophiuchus yourself.
I only learned how to pronounce it so I could tell it to get lost.
Right. You had to have a proper name for the restraining order.
Yeah. True story. Long time ago, I worked for a 900 line, and not like most of them now where you just sit at home and wait for a call, like an actual office where you worked around like other psychics and astrologers and stuff like that.
Right.
And true story, not making this up, I knew a guy who would stall for time, because, you know, you get paid by the minute. I'm sorry, it's true. Managed to, one of his tricks for stalling the time was to get someone to slowly and clearly spell out their entire name, because you've got to be that accurate when you're checking the Akashic records.
Oh my gosh.
Because, you know, you don't accidentally want someone with a similar name. You don't want to be pulling their file from the Akashic records.
Right, because, you know, the Akashic records just recently went to the Dewey Decimal System.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's like, and suddenly I pictured the Akashic records as being like miles and miles of old school paper files with the colored tabs on them, you know.
Right. You know how many paper cuts there's got to be in that office?
It's going to be a nightmare.
Right. Going through the Akashic record of every soul that's ever lived.
Yeah. In alphabetical order.
In alphabetical order, right.
Okay, it's probably too obscure, but there was from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books, there was this being who was traveling through time and space, personally insulting every living being in the universe one at a time in alphabetical order.
That was me, Matthew.
Okay. He showed up, insulted Arthur Dent, and then had to go leave and find Arthur Denut or whatever. Yeah, it was...
Oh, dear goodness.
So what else? Yeah, it's...
So what else is eating us?
We established that Mars in Cancer is a load of crap.
Right.
We're really just not liking it all. No one really talks about the Uranus-Pluto square, but it's kind of still there, you know. Just saying, it's still happening.
Yes, as is, we just had Mars square the nodes, and we've had both Mars and Pluto square the nodes this year.
That's right, yeah.
T square going on right now with Mars, Uranus, and Pluto, and I think that's kind of reactivating the, you know, all those cardinal Graham square points.
Yeah.
That we went through, so, and the eclipses and stuff, so.
Well, yeah, you know what, there's just so much stuff going on, I don't even think I've checked out the next set of eclipses. But I'm willing to bet there'll be trouble somehow.
Right. They usually are. They usually come from the bad side of the tracks.
And you know what, every time an eclipse, I go through the same thing, it's like, are we being unnecessarily worried by this thing, or should we be really worried? Because you know what I mean, it's like, the eclipse, it energizes that point, and it kind of just sits there in your chart waiting, like the shark from Jaws, for some other transit to set it off, and then, oh, I forgot to check the eclipse point, sorry, you died.
Darn it. That eclipse on, there was an eclipse on my birthday actually this year. It was 29 Pisces directly on my sun. And that was the first eclipse at 29 Pisces in like, it was like 800 years. So I suddenly disappear in 2024 when Neptune goes on my sun, then I can just blame that eclipse from this year.
We're going to know exactly what to blame. And that's really half the battle with astrology.
Yeah, who's the culprit? It's forensic. It's forensic.
Well, and that's, you know, that's kind of one of the strange things about doing readings for people is, like, you can, you know, they'll come to you because, oh, like, my job totally sucks. And you can look at their transit and say, yeah, it's kind of totally sucked for the next year, and it's got a few more months yet to go, but then it'll turn around, and here's what you can do about it, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, when, you know, you're asking, you know, why is it sucking now? Well, you know, Saturn is square your midheaven, or something like that. But there's a big gap to leap between Saturn squaring your midheaven being bad news for your career and why. Do you understand what I mean? It's kind of a... It's kind of like we can say you have a sore throat because you have a viral infection, but it's really hard to communicate why it is that a viral infection makes your throat sore.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to just say, well, because that's what they do, rest in fluids.
Right. I mean, and that's what I try to stress to people, like, you know, the planets don't cause or force us to do anything. It can only reflect things that are already going on within us.
Yeah.
So why are you feeling stagnant at your job that it may produce on the outside an experience where you are separated from where you're at?
Yeah. And that, and of course, if someone starts to tell you that the solution is, you know, next week when transiting Mercury is biceptile your natal iris or something, or eris. Eris? Let's call the whole thing off. You know what I mean?
Yes. Right. I mean, and, you know, obviously the problem when you're having career issues is that there's a small gnome or gremlin that has housed itself in your garden and needs to be expelled.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's...
Oh
man. So, you know, once again, I'm afraid I've just kind of, you know, I mean, I know you do great work with your show, but it's kind of like every once in a while, I think this is the second time I've been on now.
Yes.
Don't you kind of feel like, I don't know, it's like some kind of talk show where, I'm sorry, our regularly scheduled guest for this evening, Carlos Santana, couldn't show up. Instead, here's a guy who is walking down the street raving about the government reading his mind.
I've got that guy on next week, actually.
Okay.
He was booked up with Jade Helm starting this week, so I have
okay,
to...
yeah. Jade Helm. Okay, yeah, run America, run.
Oh, goodness sakes. So,
yeah, something tells me America's still going to be America when Jade Helm is done. Whether or not you like it.
Right. Right. Unfortunately, it may still be here. okay, so we're getting close to the bottom of the hour here. So, and we're having an incredibly violent storm on my
end.
That
sounds kind of awesome.
So, tell people again the best place to get a hold of you.
Either just Matthew Currie, Currie on Facebook. I'm the guy with the metal hair and the sunglasses. There is the Oh My Stars Astrology with Matthew Currie blog on BeliefNet. There is also the Facebook group of the same name. When in doubt, just type in Matthew Currie Astrology and you'll find something that'll lead you somewhere. And of course, if you're listening to this and send me an email, you get a discount on a reading or my subscription service, which I think I'm going to be renaming the Platinum Plus service, just because I like the sound of that.
Right. I was thinking of renaming all my services to some really sparkly,
well, yeah,
sparkly, shiny name, I think.
Yeah, would you like a reading, or would you like the Champagne Room reading?
The Champagne Room reading. The real VIP treatment.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my God. Somebody has finally made me speechless.
Oh, dear. And we all know how entertaining dead air is for people, so...
Yeah. Some people prefer it to my usual shows.
well, such people are fools.
Yes. Look at all the wit and knowledge they're missing out on.
Well,
like crazy.
Exactly.
Okay. So, we want to thank you for being on again.
It's been all kinds of awesome.
Yes. We have a great time every time you're on. And I will, all of Matthew's links are on my Facebook page, and they are in the chat room there. And we want you to enjoy the upcoming Armageddon.
Right on. Get front row seats.
Yep, yep. And pick, you know, I think I'm going to pick a shelled animal to come back as next time, like a turtle or maybe a crab, since Mars is in Cancer.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back as a crab.
I think that's a good idea. It's solid, very solid design, very durable.
Right, and your home is always there. You don't ever have to worry. If you're a crab, you don't ever have to, wow. You don't ever, that was close. You don't ever have to worry about going out and drinking and driving and not being able to make it home, because your home is always right there.
Exactly. You can just pass out wherever you are, and you're safe and legal.
Right. Just pull your little pinchers back into the shell, and you're home for the night.
Yeah. Man, this is sounding like a much better gig than being an astrologer.
At some points, it probably is. At some points, it probably is.
Yeah.
Okay, my friend. Well, thank you for spending some time with us and for some laughs. I'm sure we all needed the humor at this point.
It's been good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. And remember, if you missed the beginning of the shows are archived immediately or within about an hour or so after the show. They'll be up for archive replay, and you can go listen to the first time Matthew was on earlier this year. And so, thank you very much, Matthew.
It's been good. Thank you.
Take care, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. That was Matthew Curry and one of our hilarious friends. Really check out his Facebook page. Absolutely hilarious. We have good times there. And, yep, coming up, astrology meetup tomorrow night at 7, Mystic Nirvana in downtown Westerville, Ohio, 133 South State Street. I'll be giving a lecture September 20th at the Universal Life Expo in Columbus. It's the metaphysical expo in the Midwest. I will be there September 20th at 4:30 p.m. giving a lecture called Generation X, Time to Awaken, where I will break down the transits for the next year and a half for those of you born in the 60s with the tight Uranus-Pluto conjunction. And next week our guest is Lynn White, the Powell Psychic. And she will be making her first appearance on here. So, everyone, thank you for listening very much.
Mark, time to return to the ship.
So, have a good weekend, and everyone stay safe out there.